Bell, thank you. Wonderful song to sing, and something more difficult to do, to surrender to the Lord and allow Him to have control of our lives. And yet that's the call of Christ each and every day, for us to deny self and take up that cross and follow Him daily. I want to invite you to join with me in the Gospel of Mark over in Mark chapter 4 as we resume that study of the Gospel of Mark. And tonight we're learning from the master teacher and what he had to teach in some parables, and parables about the kingdom of heaven. And you know, sometimes doing the work of the Lord can be a little bit frustrating and disappointing. And sometimes you work hard, and it's kind of like the farmers out here. You throw some seed out into the field, and you do it by faith. You watch and you wait, and you watch and you wait, and you hope that the seed will bring forth a crop, and you can harvest something. And there's a lot of things that the seed depends upon for growth. And for a productive harvest. And it's just like that with the Word of God too. And yet Jesus gives us these principles here in Mark chapter 4 about how we go forth and sow the seed, not only in our hearts, but in the hearts of the world around us. And Jesus used some parables here, and I'm going to cover three of them tonight. They're real short and parables, but they're profound in so many ways and enlightening for us. And he sums it up in verse 33 and 34. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me and honor the word of the Lord. I'm going to read those two verses first, and then I'm going to back up to verse 21 and walk through these three parables. But Jesus spoke, and the master teacher, who always spoke with authority, he spoke as one who, everywhere he went, he was teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. That's how he burst on the scene. And he used these parables in Matthew 13 as a whole slew of them put together. But Mark has just three here. And he speaks about the parables and Jesus' purpose in teaching this way. And he says in verse 33, "And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them." Now notice this, I underlined it in my Bible. "As they were able to hear it. Without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." Father, I pray that, Lord, we have ears to hear tonight and a heart ready to receive, to be instructed, to be guided into truth. Just as Jesus spoke and explained his parables to his disciples, we're grateful tonight that His Spirit abides within us, the teacher, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside to help us understand what He inspired Mark to record for us. And so tonight we pray for that illuminating work of the Spirit of God to illumine our hearts and minds with the Word of God tonight, and to teach us and instruct us about the kingdom of God and the nature of that kingdom, and what we should be looking for, and how we should be faithful in our responsibility of seeing its growth. And Lord, I pray tonight that this would change perhaps even the way we approach our workplaces this week. Lord, our neighborhoods, even our homes. God, by the truths that we learn tonight. Lord, again, your sheep hear your voice and they follow you. So, good shepherd, speak to us tonight and let our lives, our minds be transformed, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Jesus is giving us some instruction about these parables. There's a wonderful promise over in the book of Isaiah, the prophet. A reason why I love to focus on the Word of God. Over in Isaiah 55, there's a promise that if you will faithfully proclaim the Word, if we will just faithfully sow the seed, if we'll do what Jesus spoke of over in the beginning of this chapter about seed being thrown on different soils, here's the amazing promise. The Word of God is powerful and it never returns void. Just as the rain falls down, Isaiah says, and just as it nourishes the ground, it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so too the Word of God comes down like that rain and it falls on hearts of men. And the amazing thing is, you know, God's ways aren't our ways. We don't understand how it's going to work. Isaiah says his ways are so much higher, his thoughts are so much higher. But this is the amazing thing. That word, when it comes, it never returns void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which God sends it. And so that's why it's always important, an important principle for ministry. Listen, not just for the pastor, but anyone who is doing ministry for the Lord, to make sure that you're sowing and throwing the word of God out there, because that word will always accomplish the purpose for which God sends it. It's a living word. This word is alive. You realize that, right? And eternal God speaks it, so that means it is real and for every generation in all of eternity. From the beginning of time to the end of time, this living word is spoken by God, and it has the power to do exactly precisely what God wants it to do. So you and I can never make an excuse about God's word when we open it. This should be an encouraging thing for us to want to do our Bible studies and want to hear God speak and have our time of devotion with him in the morning or in the evening or whenever you do that time. I sometimes pray this, word of God, speak to me. I need to hear the words of the living God. I need to find the word that gives life. And this book, the promise of it is, it will always accomplish the purpose for which God sends it. So that's why we sow the seed. We sow the word of God. And Jesus, that's all he did everywhere he went. He taught, and he taught in a particular way. He taught about the kingdom of God. Remember when he burst on the scene in Mark chapter 1, verse 15? You know, he said, listen, the time is fulfilled. Repent and believe. The kingdom of God is here. And he taught everywhere he went about the kingdom, God's kingdom, and what he was here to accomplish and the nature of the kingdom. And he used parables. In fact, there's about 39 different parables in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And he used these Gospels because to some who could understand what he was saying, it was crystal clear, the point. And to some who were confused and didn't understand what he's saying, they remain confused. It's really a fulfillment of what was said over in the book of Isaiah, that some would hear but wouldn't understand. Some would see but they wouldn't believe. And yet there are those who do hear and do see, and God's Spirit, I believe, opens our hearts and minds to see and understand the clear principles that God is teaching. So here in this chapter, it's important that in this particular chapter 4, he will say this, I think, about 10 times. It is important to hear. To have an ear inclined to hear what God is going to say. In my mind, I always think back to Proverbs chapter 2. Chapter 1 of Proverbs, Lady Wisdom is speaking. She's shouting out there at the square where the roads meet, at the entrances to the city, at all the points where there's a crossroads, a decision point. You've got to decide which direction to go. At the entrances to the gates, like before you're beginning into a particular route, a particular avenue. Lady Wisdom is shouting, God's speaking, and are we listening? Because she's giving invitation there to life and an experience that will change your life. But if we don't listen and we don't incline our ear to hear and treasure what God says and even cry out to the Lord, God help me. I'm a little dense. At least that's the preacher being honest tonight. I don't get it the first time. God help me. And that's how you learn. If we're willing to do that, then we'll find and discover not only who God is, but we'll discover the path of godliness. That's the promise of Proverbs chapter 2 and why we study the Word of God. Well, here, I've got to have an ear to hear, which also isn't surprising because it's interesting in the Greek, the word for to hear and to obey come from similar Greek letters when they form those words, and they sound very similar. And that's pretty much tied to it. You know, if I obey someone, I've heard what they say, right? Hey, listen, when our children obey us, they heard us, amen? And when they don't obey us, they probably didn't hear us, right? Or else they may be heard. My dad would say it this way. It went in one ear and out the other, right? Well, we want it to go in our ear. We want to hear what God is saying so it finds root in our hearts. And so hearing, we respond in obedience. And this is Jesus' teaching method. And so as these individuals drew near, the crowds, and also as his disciples drew near, those who heard, as it says here, that when he spoke to them, he spoke as they were able to hear it. And when they were alone, he explained it, particularly to his disciples. Praise God, we're never alone. The Spirit of God is with us to teach us and instruct us. And that's what he came to do. I like to say it this way, not only convict us of the truth before we believe, but to convince us of the truth after we believe. to guide us in the paths of righteousness so that we can know what God says. Now, here's the three parables that he has. One's in verse 21 through 25, then a second one from 26 to 29, and then a third one from verse 30 down to verse 32. And they all have to do with the kingdom and with the advance of the kingdom and the spreading of the kingdom and the truth that goes along with the kingdom. And the first one has to do with the illuminating presence of light, the light that you cannot hide. Jesus said to them, verse 21, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under the bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor anything that's been kept secret that will not come to light." Here it is. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Whoever has, to him will be more be given, will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from here." Now, Jesus here uses some imagery for them. That's how parables worked. He would take something as an object lesson and use that to teach and instruct the crowds, and particularly his disciples. Here he uses that common image of a lamp. That's how they illumined their homes. They didn't have candles. They had lamps back then. They had pressed olive oil or oil that they would fill in those lamps, and you would light the wick on that on the lamp, and it would use the oil, and you'd illumine your house. Now, they didn't have electricity like we did, right? So it was primitive in many ways. And yet they could illumine large rooms by taking those lamps and placing them up in the notches in the wall. Because the higher you raise the lights, the more that light shines over a greater area. It disperses over all those areas. And Jesus says, listen, if you have a lamp, you don't take that lamp and put it down here underneath a basket. You don't take it and even hide it under your bed. I mean, it's not going to cast light. Yes, it'll cast light there, but that light will be limited in how effective it is in spreading and illuming the room. He says, no. We lift up that light. Light has a purpose. The purpose of light is to illumine darkness. It's to make it so people can see. It's to help us so that we don't stumble. And we need to realize that power that light has and the purpose for which it's sent. And so in a similar way, the word that Jesus sends forth is an illuminating word. It's to enlighten people's lives. It has the purpose of doing precisely that. Jesus himself was the light of the world. It's not surprising that the word is called the light. It is said that over in Psalm 119, "Thy word is a what? A lamp for my feet and a light for my path." In other words, sometimes it's healthy to say, "God, I'm going to read your word this morning because I've got to take some steps of faith today. And the light, God, illumine my life. Lord, help me to watch my steps that I'm going to take." The next step, it may just be a small baby step, or it could be a large stride. Either way, I'm going to take a step forward in faith because of what your word says. And it'll also guide us in the path, the direction we need to go. It's a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. That's what the word does. And Jesus said, listen, the kingdom of heaven is like that, and the word is like that, and that's just a reflection of the king who is light himself. And so what we want is that illuminating presence to be evident for people to see. That's the purpose of light. And the amazing thing is it was designed that way and intended to be used that way. And yet we don't realize sometimes just how much power light has. You realize there, with a press of a button, these lights can all go down. And you know what invades this present? Darkness. It comes right in. But the moment they press a particular button in there and bring up the lights, if they just bring up the lights over the stage, there's still darkness in some of the corners there of the sanctuary. But they bring up all the lights and the darkness has to flee. It has to get back and go back. And that's something we need to realize today. We've received the illuminating presence of God. We have the illuminating word of God. The Spirit has applied that to our hearts. And wow, we're called children of light. In fact, Peter would say it over in 1 Peter chapter 2. We once were in darkness, but praise God, we're in the light. Now listen, if that light has come in, what do you do with that light? You don't hide it under a basket. You don't put it under the bed. No, no, no. You lift it up. And as you lift it up, the amazing thing is it provides illuminating presence, not just for your benefit, but for the benefit of all those around you. And that's what we need to realize. The Word of God, it illuminates things. It reveals things. And things that are once were in the shame of darkness now are brought forth. And that's important because we want that presence, that illuminating presence in our life to reveal what's going on in our heart so that we can confess those things to the Lord and our life can be changed. And we want that to happen in our culture as well as the light comes forth. It's not surprising Jesus would have said in the Sermon on the Mount, listen, you are salt, my disciples, and you're light. The salt that retards the decay of the culture around you, but also the light that illuminates the darkness. And we should be spreading that light, sharing that light. And that happens when the Word of God really gets in our lives and begins to transform us. And now we've got something that, frankly, we're just bearing the light. We're reflecting the glorious presence of the Lord, His Shekinah glory. It's shone a light down in my soul, and it changes my life, and that should be radiating out from us. And Jesus said, man, set that up high. Remember what the purpose of light is. It's to give light, to illumine souls and individuals around you. And remember the power that it has. Darkness has to flee if we but bring the light in. That's an illuminating thing for us today. Listen, in our culture, the church has gone quiet. The church has gone silent with truth. When if we were just really realize, we just need to elevate the light, the truth in our culture, and darkness will have to flee. It can't stand against the light. It's an amazing thing. I notice it every morning, early in the morning. Some of you early risers, right? It's dark, and then you see it over the horizon, right? That sun coming up. And man, that sun starts to come out and darkness starts to flee to the west. And as that sun gets up higher, man, there's no darkness except maybe in the shade, right? But as that sun comes up, that's what darkness has to do. It has to flee. It has great power. Now notice what it says in verse 24 and 25 about the potential, because this is very important. We're cautioned. Jesus says, listen, be careful. Take heed to what you hear. Now, if the Word is speaking, if it's illuminating us, we need to be very, very particular about what we hear. This is the same thing, I think, it's reflected over in the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and 2. When Lady Wisdom is speaking at the crossroads of the city, in the entrances of a city. You know, if you ever go down to a city square or you go to the gates of the city, that's where a lot of commotion would be because people were making decisions at the entry gates and a lot of discussions would be going on and people might be brokering deals or doing whatever, making decisions. But the amazing thing is there's just a cacophony of voices out there. There's just multiple voices trying to get your attention, trying to get my attention, trying to get our children's attention. I've got to be really discerning about what I hear and be careful that I've tuned my ear to hear what the Master is saying. He's trying to speak to us. And as he's trying to speak to us, if I'm not careful, I might get the wrong message from the wrong source. And Jesus says, listen, be very careful, pay close attention, take heed to what you hear. And here's what you need to realize. The measure that you use, whatever the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. But whoever has, to him more will be given. And to the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away from him. And what is Jesus saying here about this potential of the Word illuminating our lives and of light coming into our life? He's saying this, listen, God gives it out. And you better be careful what you and I do with it. We need to pay very close attention. When God speaks, what I hear and what I hold on to is very important. If I hear God speak and receive it and hold on to it, and I'm faithful with what I get, sometimes even sharing it with others in a measure. As it comes to me, I give it away. I share it with others. This is a very important principle. If you learn something in your devotion that day in the morning when you wake up, share it with somebody. If you hear something in Sunday school class and a teacher blesses your soul and teaches you a principle that you didn't know before, share it, give it away. If you hear a little nugget in a sermon and you say, man, Pastor Chris, that was for me. Well, don't just hold on to it for yourself. There's a principle about giving that away. This is amazing. When you and I receive the truth, and then are willing to share it with others, God has an amazing way of just giving us more. You know why? Because we've demonstrated a receptivity to truth, a receptivity to light. And what we do with that light will be a blessing for us, and God will give us more. But if you don't share, if we don't give it away, there's another concern here. Even whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. In other words, listen, if I just have an ear that hears, but I know that one, and I don't do anything with it, why should God give me any more? Just think about it. If I'm not being faithful with the truth that he's given to me, and I maybe even reject it, what's amazing is it says, listen, the ability to distinguish truth in the future seems to become diminished in some way. Even what he has is taken from him. So this is quite serious. What do I do when I hear the word, when I hear about the kingdom, when I hear truth, when my mind is illumined and my soul is illumined with what God has said? I want to receive it. I like to say it this way: hear it, heed it, and hold on to it. That's the principle that you learn over in Proverbs 1, 7, 8, and 9, that parents are to teach their children, and children are to receive and hear and heed and hold on to what mom and dad teach them in the fear of the Lord. And that's the principle for not just children in our home, but for the children of God as well. Our ability to recognize truth, to hear it, to heed it, to hold on to it, and then frankly to share it with others, enlarges the opportunity that we have to receive more. And our faithfulness to do that, God expands and allows us to have more. That's the principle he teaches next in the second parable. Now, this is an interesting parable in verses 26 through 29. This is the parable of the growing seed. Notice what he says. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. You can just imagine a farmer. Listen, we're in North Idaho, right? Okay. The kingdom of God is just like a man. He goes out and scatters the seed. And then he should sleep by night, rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. I mean, you can just imagine you get up in the morning and you go out with your bag of seed. Now, they didn't have these great big combines and tractors and all that fun stuff that you get to drive around with on the farm, right? Anybody have the privilege to do those things? I mean, I get jealous sometimes seeing the harvesters and everything rolling around here. I think it'd be a blast to drive, right? Well, back out then they just had, you know, they throw seed. They had a bag of seed, and they went out and they scattered seed. And as he threw seed in the morning and in the afternoon and out in his field, then he went home, and he was tired because he'd been out in the heat all day, and he went to bed and he went to sleep. Now, the amazing thing happens. In the time that God has for the seed begins to sprout. And suddenly, all of a sudden, you have the roots, it starts to go down and it finds root, then it has the shoot and it shoots up and then it buds and then it brings forth a harvest. Now, here's the amazing thing. The parable is talking about the seed, not the man. The man doesn't do anything. He actually just goes to sleep, right? And he has to trust that the seed is going to do what the seed is supposed to do. And so the emphasis is on the power of the word of God. We've already seen in the first parable that talked about the seed over in verses 3 through earlier in this chapter, verses 3 down through verse 9 in the explanation. There he was talking about the types of soils that seed falls on and how receptive the soil of the heart is to the seed. Here he's talking about the power of the seed itself. That there's nothing wrong with the seed. It will do. It has potential within it, power within it. And if it's but thrown, you can go to sleep and rest and know the seed will work. I in the margin of your Bible, I'd write Isaiah 55. It's one of my favorite passages. Because there you find that emphasis on just what I'm saying. The word of God does not return void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which he sends it. And this is the mystery of the kingdom of God. That God will see to it that his kingdom grows. And the way his kingdom grows is through the word of God. Have you ever read the book of Acts? I know we read the books of the Acts of the Apostles, right? But really, it's the book of the Acts of the Apostles as they spread the word. as they share the word. Because if you go, what's amazing is in Acts, Luke will record this time and time again. It'll say, and the word of the Lord increased, and the word of the Lord increased, and the word of the Lord increased, and the word of the Lord increased. Why? Because you can't stop it. You cannot stop the spread of the word of God. It's powerful. It's going to take root. It's going to bring forth the shoot. It's going to bring forth a bud. And it will yield a harvest. And when the harvest comes and the blade comes up and the head comes up and the grain comes up, then the sickle comes in and the harvest is reaped. And that's the picture he wants to understand. Beloved, listen, there's nothing wrong with the word. The problem's always the soil. We've seen that earlier in chapter 4. The question is, do you and I believe the word of God will go forth in power? Listen, we don't always see the how fast or how quickly it spreads, but the truth is, the potential is there. You understand? I can say it's not dependent on human activity. That's the picture here. The man just throws it and he goes to sleep. But he does have a responsibility to throw it out there. You know something fascinating that happened today? I don't know if you noticed out on the tables, there's I call them viral verses. We made these cards, and there's about 8 different verses out there, and they're all shuffled up, different verses. And I always encourage you to take them, but we put these little signs above them that God is here, and he is not silent. The word of the Lord brings hope and help. It's an amazing thing, these little viral verses. Sometimes when we feed and bless others because we've been blessed, we'll put these viral verses on there. And they say things like Psalm 46, 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountain fall into or be carried into the midst of the sea. These verses are there. They're verses that bring encouragement and help and hope, a reminder that God's a God who brings help and hope. You know what? I thought about it today because I like to take them. I have a whole slew of them in my truck. And when I'm at the gas station, you know where you put your credit card in? Sometimes, I'm sorry if you happen to see that, I'll put them right in there in the credit card for someone coming behind me to get a verse that might encourage them. You never know, right? Because I know this, the word of the Lord never returns void. Anyways, today, what's fascinating, I can say this because I don't see them in the worship service tonight, but this morning there was a couple that were here visiting, and I said, how did you find us? I love to ask that question to people when they come in, and it's interesting sometimes what they'll tell you, right? But she said, well, you know, here's the amazing thing. We were at the hospital, and we found this card with a scripture verse on it up on the vending machine. And I said, oh, I know where that got there. I was just throwing the seed out there. And they said, that was crazy. We thought, what kind of church puts out verses out there in the hospital? And we wanted to come see what that church is like. And I thought, well, praise God. And so they came, and you know what happened? They heard the word again when they were here. I would encourage you, listen, you can grab them. I'll fill them up throughout the week if I see them all empty. But grab these verses. It's really simple. You just take one, just put it in the... Well, you know, you can leave it there on the table when you're eating lunch or dinner at a restaurant. You can give it to someone. Sometimes I'll do that. I encourage individuals who are in the hospital, I'll give them a handful sometimes when I'm there, and I say, listen, you're on mission right now for the Lord, for the kingdom of God. God's drawn your boundaries right here. Let's redeem this. I know it's not enjoyable, especially when you're going through treatments or you've had a procedure or a surgery, but as you're sitting there sometimes, it's good to know, well, this word might encourage me. There might be his eye is on the sparrow. How much more does he watch over you and me? Verses that bring us hope in the midst of difficult times. But I remind brothers and sisters when they're there, listen, that let that encourage and enrich your soul. And then when someone comes in to visit with you, they may be having a bad day. Hey, let's believe that the word doesn't return void. Share it with somebody. You don't know. Our responsibility is just to throw the seed, to get it out there. Because the seed, the farmer just throws it and he goes to bed. Because you know why? He knows there's power in the seed. It will do something. Now, our hope is that it brings forth the good harvest. That really depends upon where the soil is, right? We've already learned that parable. How does that soil? So sometimes as you plant that, I'll pray, Lord, let this find good soil, this seed I'm throwing out right now. Whoever, Lord, and I'm just crazy enough to believe God's in control of everybody, where everybody is at all times. You know that? I really think he's sovereign over all the free will decisions of all people. And it's amazing how he works that out. How he puts things in people's paths sometimes. And sometimes holding them up at a red light. And then they have to pull in and get gas. And they didn't know that I had been there just 2 minutes earlier and maybe put this in the slot. Pretty amazing. I can't wait to get to heaven, right? And you know, to get there one day and say, I threw out all this seed, and someone's going to come up and say, man, thank you for sharing the word of God. I grabbed that tract, I grabbed that card, and it just really illumined my life. It ministered to my soul. I just want to encourage you to, I call them viral verses, right? Spread, right? I mean, we're spreading all them other things out there. Why not spread the word, right? Because there's power in it. That's what he says. It's going to grow. It's amazing. It's going to grow. So believe that. Because when it does, it will ultimately bring a harvest. That harvest will either be good or bad. It really depends. Sometimes in Revelation, particularly, it talks about the sickle being come in a time of judgment. But there is a harvest of both wheat and tares, right? There are good things that will be harvested, and there are tares that will be harvested. But that's on the Lord. He's the Lord of the harvest, not us. But our responsibility is to just to throw the seed, just to be faithful to do it. And so I just want to encourage you to consider that and just think about the seed does grow. And the kingdom does expand. And that's the mystery of that growth. You and I don't understand it, but it's going to happen. We just close your eyes and go to bed. Next thing you know, well, where did that come from? Well, you throw some seed out. We got a field beside our home. There's an extra lot that someone owns. And so sometimes we have a burn pile there and everything. And I figure if we mow the grass, we can at least burn something there. But anyways, for 10 years, we've been doing that. You know what's amazing? We threw some pumpkins up there last year after Halloween. And we threw those pumpkins in there. You know what's growing up there right now? Walked up there, there's these pumpkins going all over the place. I mean, like, at first I thought we might have watermelons, but we went up there and it's pumpkins, and big old pumpkins. And my daughter's like, well, praise God, we got pumpkins. And I was like, that's crazy. And you know what? We just threw the pumpkins up there, and the seeds, they rotted eventually. They got down in the soil. Power. Power, that seed comes up and starts spreading them vines. I mean, them jokers are big. And I'm like, wow, all right. Praise the Lord. That's the power of the word, y'all. Just throw it out there. Listen, just share it. Something you learned today on Sunday, and Sunday morning, and Sunday school, and the sermon tonight. I dare you. Double dog dare you. Share it this week. Share it with somebody and see what God does. Hey, let me tell you something I heard this week. And share something you heard God say. And let the seed grow. Now, one last parable he mentions here, it's the parable of the mustard seed. Now, this is the amazing thing. Jesus then turns about the power of a little tiny seed. This is the amazing thing. There's certainty, again, there's certainty that there's power in the seed. It's going to grow, and it's going to grow. We're certain of that. It will. In fact, in the Greek word there, and so let me just back up, when it says there in verses 28 and 29, it says that the earth yields its crop by itself, the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain and head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle. Why? Because the harvest has come. When it says that it bears fruit, literally in the Greek it says automatically the earth bears fruit. Like you can't stop it is what literally the Greek is saying. It's going to happen. Well, listen, if I believe that, throw it out there, amen? So it's going to happen. There's a certainty, and it's going to happen. Now, let's talk about how the kingdom does grow and how the word of God plays a part in that. He talks about this little mustard seed. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a little mustard seed, which when it's sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. Now, I circled smaller there. The point of the thing is not a scientific lesson here. There are smaller seeds on the earth. In that day, that was one of the smallest seeds that they were aware of in Palestine, okay? So don't say the Bible's wrong here because that's not the smallest seed, okay? That's not the point of the parable. The point of the parable is something very small. Notice what happens in verse 32. When it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. And so what he's saying here is that the kingdom of God works this way. It starts out really, 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 really small, and over time it grows. It grows and it grows and it throws out branches. Branches so big that, listen, birds of the air can come and rest in it. And so we need to realize that God's kingdom, his kingdom of heaven, is going to advance and grow and experience amazing results. Now, we read, I believe, Matthew 17 or 13, and over in Matthew's gospel, when he talks about mustard seed, he talks there about the quantity of faith you have to have. You know, you only have to have just that much faith to move a mountain. Pretty amazing, huh? Just to believe. Sometimes it's good to say, Lord, help my unbelief. If I got just an infinitesimally small amount, Lord, help me with what I got to believe you can do the impossible and move the mountain. But here he's talking about the kingdom is like this little mustard seed. It starts off so, so small. And when it's sown, it grows into an incredible mature state. But it's only a small beginning. It starts really, really small. And that's how God works. I mean, you stop and think about it. Jesus is speaking to 12 disciples. I mean, they followed him for 3.5 years, listened to his teaching, they recorded it for us. And yet the amazing thing is just with this small little beginning, how the kingdom of God has grown. How vast it is. And here's the amazing thing, y'all. We haven't even seen the full expanse of it, right? We will witness that and see that in heaven. But the amazing thing about how it grows, and that's why, listen, you take steps of faith and you obey the Spirit of God as he leads you and you sow the seed of the Word of God because there's incredible power in it and it's going to grow. It has incredible potential and you allow it to be a light that illumines the lives of those around you as it illumines your own life and that Word goes forth. And the amazing thing is, it's going to be amazing when we see it in its final state. And it will be so big, the birds of the air will come and under its shade abide there. Some people say, well, who are the little birdies? Because over in the beginning of this chapter, when it talked about the little birds that came and plucked the seed that was falling on the hard soil, it said those were Satan, right? Satan's agents who want to make certain no one hears the Word of God because the Word of God can change lives. Well, I don't think Satan's going to be in the shade of the tree, personally. I think it refers perhaps maybe to the nations, the peoples of this world who will hear the power of the Word and surrender and have a heart yielded to it, and they will come under its shade and become citizens of its kingdom. It's talking about the kingdom of God. Satan certainly is not a part of that. Who's going to dwell and rest in the kingdom of God? The citizens. And I think a beautiful picture of it is over there in the book of Revelation where John says, listen, thousands upon thousands, right? People of every tribe, nation, and tongue. You and I aren't, we're going to be so amazed when we get there. We're like, wow, this is amazing. God, you're amazing. And yet the surprising growth, it just starts in a small way and then it expands and it expands. This is the way the kingdom works. Love it. Don't rush to get results, right? Sometimes, listen, things that grow really fast are called cancer, right? They're not always good. I want to see numbers. Listen, I want to see growth, but also I realize this. Our responsibility is to be faithful with the Word and just sow the seed and let the Lord bring the increase because He will. He's ensured that. He's given the potential to it, the power to it. It will grow. My responsibility, your responsibility is just to be faithful to throw it out there. Start small, it's going to grow large. And praise God tonight, we get to be a part of it, amen? We get to be a part. Our responsibility is allow it to be illuminating lives around us. This is the living Word of God. It's alive, it's real, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It will cut. Listen, I don't want to go out there with a machete, though. It's a scalpel, right? To cut away sin like a doctor does, like a divine physician, and to bring healing in our lives, and it can do it in the lives of those around us, if they will but hear. And so let's show them how we hear and listen and share some of the amazing things we've heard and let God work. Will you pray with me tonight? Father, that you thank you that tonight you give us some simple instructions, some precepts about the Word of God, the power, the potential, the certainty of what it will do and accomplish. God, may we with faith believe this tonight. May we sow this seed in our own hearts and may we throw it out there and sow it in the hearts of those around us. God, bring the increase. Lord, we've thrown a lot of seed out there and Lord, we in your time, we know it'll come forth and bear a harvest and you'll bring that harvest in. But Lord, may we just be found faithful with the opportunities you give it, corporately, individually, as those who have believed the truth, to share that with others. And Lord, I thank you tonight that we have this assurance from your word, about your word, that it never returns void. Lord, I know we've sown it in the hearts of our children, and Lord, we wonder, Lord, what they're doing with the word. We pray even tonight, Lord, that may that word bring conviction. May you water seed that's been sown in hearts and minds. And Lord, may you bring a good harvest for your glory. We ask all this tonight in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen. Amen.